weeks ago about a faithful saying. Okay? You know, and I told you how that I had to come to the place that I had to ask myself a question if I'm going to believe God's Word or not. Period. Am I going to believe it? It doesn't matter what it says. Am I going to believe it? You may think that's a strange question for a person that my dad's always been a pastor. He's always been. I was raised in church. I never remember, it was never a question. And so it may seem odd to you that I had to ask myself if I'm going to believe God's Word or not. I mean, I was raised with the fact that it was true. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to believe it just because I was raised with it. You young people, I know my kids and y'all's kids, and they're all kind of one bunch, aren't they? I mean, we're not all related, but you're all family. You know, and these young kids, you need to decide if you're going to believe what God's Word says or not. For me, I thank the Lord that He helped me to see that I am going to believe it. I am going to. And it was a struggle because there were some things that I didn't understand. And since I couldn't understand them, how am I expected to believe them? You know? But one of the things that helped me with this, I told you before, that the Lord's opened things up to me at work. Did you know we have a code book at work? It's almost the size of this Bible. I mean, not only do we have a code book at work, we also have a book of amendments to that code book. It's just about as big. So the county, the city, has the same code book, but different amendments with it. So it depends on where you're at, what book you pick up, you know. But the basic thing is, am I going to plumb the way that code book says? That's it. I mean, that seems pretty simple, doesn't it? It is pretty simple. I've plumbed things before, and an inspector come in and said, "You can't do that." Why? It looks good to me. I'm okay with it. It's going to work. And he's like, "It's not the code." And he shows me the code. Oh, okay. I think of the verse in the Bible. That's when I understood the verse in the Bible that says that it seems right in the man's eyes. It looked right to me. Water was drained down through it. But the inspector said no. I had to change it. God's Word is true. But there's four times in the Bible that He says, this is a faithful saying. And what is neat about these, when I found this, it didn't come out until I was putting all of it together and studying it. They're in progression. It's very neat. Because the first saying, I'll just read these to you here. The first saying is in 1 Timothy chapter 1:15. And it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's a faithful saying. That's the first one we went over, right? That Christ came to save sinners. If you don't get that, there's no use in going on. That's the starting point. That you need to understand and believe that Christ came to save you, a sinner. The second one is in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. And it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. We trust in Christ. But you know what? It's not over with yet then. Salvation is not the end. Salvation is the beginning of your life. What do you do then after that? You labor. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, is that we're going to labor and we're going to suffer because of our labor. And then the next one is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Says it is a faithful saying. Well, I'll turn over there and read it. 2 Timothy 2, verse 11 says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Think about that. We're going to labor. But it's not just... it's going to affect the rest of our life. We're dead to this flesh. Who here has a battle every day within yourself? That's what this is talking about. You have a battle. There's a war going on with you right now. And then the last one is in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8 says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." You see the progression there, how he mentions these? Salvation is the first one he says, this is a faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came to save sinners. And then in 1 Timothy, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9, he says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is a Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach." After we're saved, you know why he says here that we both labor? You know why he says we're going to labor in our life? It's not fun all the time, is it? It's not. After we're saved, it's not a bed of roses. Well, there's a lot of thorns in a bed of roses, isn't there? I mean, so you could say that. There's thorns in there, and you're going to get poked and pricked and stuck and everything else, you know? But it's not easy to serve the Lord. Maybe it is for you, but for me it's not. It's a struggle. It's work. I have to work at it. But let's go to the Lord in word of prayer before we get too far into this and ask His blessings on it. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for the opportunity and the ability You've given to us to be able to be here tonight, Lord. And Lord, we thank You for Your words You've given to us. And Lord, we each one know the struggle that we have in our own lives, Lord. And Lord, we're reminded every day that we can't do it on our own. Lord, we thank You that You've given us a way that we can come boldly to You, Lord, that we can bring our problems, we can bring our fears. We can bring all those things to You, Lord, and You know about them already. We thank You that you care enough. Lord, and just help tonight, Lord, in the services. Lord, just be with Your word as it goes out, Lord. Just take me out of it. Cause people not to hear me, but help that they'll hear Your word. Lord, just be with those here tonight that are lost. Lord, just open up their eyes. They can see their lost condition, Lord, that You are the only hope that they have, Lord. And just help them to trust in You. Just bring them to Your saving faith, Lord. And save me even tonight, if You would. Lord, help us to have a revival in our own hearts, Lord. And in our church, Lord, that we would not just look for a revival here in the services, Lord, but at home, at work, wherever we're going, Lord, at our hearts, we would be revived, Lord. We just thank You for Your word, Lord, that we can have a revival in Your word wherever we're at. Please save those who are lost, Lord. Be with those prayer requests that have been mentioned, Lord. Bless in those things. Just let me pray and ask these things. Amen. So after we're saved, the Lord tells us that we're going to labor. You know, as I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about at work. It's been a while since I've been there. But on larger jobs, or on any job really, it goes in phases. You have what normally is called a ground rough, were everything underneath the ground, and you had to inspect that. And it's always a push. You know, it's always a push. Everybody's pushing. Everybody wants it done a day earlier. You tell them it's going to take 5 days. They want it done in 4 or 3. You know how that is anymore. So it's always a push. And so we're all working hard. We call in extra guys. We call in sometimes a whole company to come over and work on this one ground roof because we got an inspection tomorrow. You know, and we come in there. We get it all done. But you know what happens after the inspection? You know, the inspection gets here. Everybody's stressed out. Everybody's pushing really hard. And we pass the inspection, right? Then what happens? Everybody relaxes, right? Because the push is over. I can't think of... I know the situation I'm trying to think of, but the words aren't there. You know, it's over. The fear is over. We passed it. The hump in the road, it's gone now, right? So if we're not careful, we'll relax. Because the next day we come in, we're not looking for an inspection, right? We're starting on the rough end now. But you know what? There is an inspection time coming. There is. And we already know this guy's going to, if we tell him it's going to take us 3 months, he's going to want it done in 2. We already know that. We know he's going to cut back. And then I got to thinking about the Israelites. When they left Egypt, they went out there. What was the first thing they came up against? The Red Sea, right? They turned around, and what did they see? Here comes the armies of Egypt. And here's the Red Sea. You brought us down here to kill us. You just left us alone. And the Lord said, just watch. Wait. He told Moses what to do, and the Lord parted the Red Sea, and they went across, right? When that was over, what happened? Not even 3 days later, what were they doing? Complaining again. He brought us out here so we could die. We don't have any water. Started complaining. Then I thought of something else. There was a whole lot of praying going on during the elections. There was a whole lot of praying. There was fear in our hearts. Where'd that fear go? Why did it leave? We were worried. We were praying that the Lord help. I don't know about you, but I was praying a certain individual not get elected. But we were concerned. But now you look around. Doesn't seem to be as much praying going on. It's over with now. Now we're relaxing. But this is laboring, right? At work, whenever we're working, we get breaks. We get a coffee break, they call it. 9:30 or 10, it's 15 minutes. At 12 o'clock, we get a 30-minute lunch. And at 3:30, we go home. You know what happens on a job when the guys start to relax after the inspection? Every time. 15-minute break turns into 20. 30-minute lunch turns into 40. You let that go on the first day. Second day, guess what happens? 20-minute break turns into 25 or 30. Progresses. Say, well, that ain't right. No. But how about in our lives? When the push is over and we're not afraid anymore, we quit praying as hard. We pray about other things. We were praying for our leaders. Are we still praying for our leaders? We need to be. Just as hard as we were during the election. Just as hard. I hope you're not like me. Because I'm not saying I looked out there and noticed it in you. I'm saying I looked out there and noticed it in me. That's what I'm saying. So don't take it that I'm pointing my finger at you. They're all pointing at me. I'm just kind of hoping I'm not the only one in the boat. Okay? But this world, it's in a bad spot. This country is in a bad spot. Are we laboring like we're supposed to be? Or are we taking our break a little bit longer than we ought to? Because laboring, the Bible says here, we both labor. What goes with the laboring here? He says, we both labor and suffer reproach. There's suffering coming our way. We have been really blessed. We've been blessed. I think they say in the construction trade, I think I get these numbers right, that every 4 years, they figure for 1 year of slowdown. Every 4 years of good work, there's 1 year of slowdown, is what they figure. In 2008, when everything went under, do you know how long it had been we had had good construction around the St. Louis area? How long? It had been back in the 80s. 87, 88 was the last time we had a slowdown. From then on, it was going to be good. It had been good. People got used to it. People bought more than they should. The banks got used to it. Other people got used to it, right? All big construction going. Did you know when the economy went belly under, belly up, whatever you want to say, there was construction still going on? There was work other places. There was contracts that was out there. We lost a big job. We lost a 3-year project because the bank went under. That was one of the first banks went under, had the funding for this job. I guess what I'm liking all that. You take all that physically and we look at all that and think, you know, it doesn't matter how good work is, you shouldn't live outside of your means. You should pay attention to what you have coming in and you should put back because we know there's going to be rain someday. Right? We know that. Take that philosophy and put it right over here in our spiritual lives. It's the same thing. We need to be laboring and working and doing what God called us to do. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be heartaches. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. But it's not time to sit down. We sing a song sometimes, work for the night is coming. Our Lord is coming back. And in all this, I struggle with how far to go with this labor and suffering part. I started to turn over and look at the ones that had their lamps trimmed, and some of them didn't. The bridesmaids didn't have their lamps trimmed. They weren't ready. What are we doing? What are we doing as a people? You know what this church is made up of? People, you and me. If the Lord don't come back, our children are going to be the ones sitting in these pews having their children here. Now, some of y'all heard this message, heard that being said when your kids were younger, right? You heard that. And now you're hearing your children say that about our children. This church has been here. We have been blessed. We have stood. We have had people come here and they have said that, man, this church is different. This is a wonderful place to be. I like hearing that, but that scares me. Just to be honest with you, that scares me. Because I know what happens to people when you go up to them and you say, man, I'll tell you what, you have been doing a great job for me, man. I really appreciate it. You've got me on a lot of tight spots, man. I appreciate your help. You got to be careful telling people that. You know why? It's human nature for them to slow down. It's human nature for them to think, I'm okay. That's what scares me about us. Because you know what you are? You got human nature in you, just like I do. We hear that too much. We begin to think that we're okay. The devil's not bothering us. Do you know he just started? With that thought, he just started. He just got you. He turned a compliment into a desperate situation. I remember chopping wood when we were living with Mary Sue and Cecil. I hadn't done it very much. And I was out there. I remember, man, I'll tell you, I was getting mad at this one huge log. It would not split. I couldn't get that axe to stay in that thing. I finally got it to stay, and in the middle of it, I had a piece that was just shredded. Cecil came home. We got out the wedges and the awl. You know, we split that thing. When we start feeling comfortable, the devil just got a wedge. Think about it. He just got a wedge. I don't want to be the one that feels comfortable and letting down. Because we need to be laboring. We need to be working. At work, when you go to work, some of you punch a clock. Some of us don't. Some of you work on your own. You're in charge of your own hours, your own schedule. That's a lot of the way I am when I'm working. You have to... It's kind of hard. Accountability, man, I'll tell you, that can be a best friend. Accountability. Because if you don't have it, and you're not careful, you'll start letting down. I just wonder sometimes where our accountability is at. Where's it at? Who do we answer to as a church? Whether we're laboring. I'm not saying we're not. I had debated on saying any of that. I wasn't going to say any of that. But it's been on my mind about me for a long time. Whenever something comes up against the Lord's people, I remember when I was younger and he'd come up, Lord's people would say, just ignore him. It'll go away. I've heard that. Ignore him, it'll go away. Why do you think our country is in a situation it's in right now? Because we ignored it and let it go away. We need to be laboring and working. We need to be doing what we need to be doing. I don't know what the Lord has for you. To be honest with you, I don't know what He has for me, but I know what I'm supposed to be doing. And I know where I'm supposed to be at. But this labor is not easy. And we're going to suffer. Sometimes more than others. I've had people, when they found out I went to church, one guy, he made me mad. He called me a Bible thumper. Made me mad. First time I ever heard that. Just the way he said it. The term didn't make me mad, but the way he said it, the snarly way he said it, I wanted to hit him with something. But then I got to thinking about it later, after I calmed down. The Lord says not be surprised. So how come that surprised me so much? I got along with a guy one time at work real good. Until he found out I was a preacher and he didn't like me. He'd cuss at me, scream at me, yell at me. Then one day I threatened to break his neck. I apologized then. Y'all heard that story, I think. Then he threatened to shoot me. Went out to get his gun, and I ran out the other door. We're going to suffer different ways. I've never been hit. I've never been beat. I've never been anything like that. Who's writing this book? Who's writing to Timothy? It's Apostle Paul, isn't it? When the Apostle Paul says, we both labor and suffer reproach, I think he knows what he's talking about. You study about the Apostle Paul and how many times he suffered. I don't know too many guys that was left for dead after being beat. And if I remember right, twice it was done to him. And what did he do? What would you do? What would you do? If somebody told you, if you preach, I'm going to beat you. And you preach and they beat you till they think you're dead, kick you off in a ditch and leave you, what are you going to do? I don't really want to think about what I would do because I think I would run. I have this thing, I'm allergic to pain. I avoid it. You know? But the Apostle Paul, he got up and went to the next town and preached. Why? Why? He understood something. You take these faithful sayings apart and you look at them. But what I've discovered, you can't forget the first one. Why did Paul get up and go preach again? Because Christ Jesus came to save sinners. That's why. And Paul says, of whom I am chief. He saved me, there ain't nobody worse. That's what he's saying. I differ with him on that. I wasn't born yet. We need to be laboring, not because it's our job, not because it's expected of us, because Christ died on the cross for me. I ought to be willing and ready to work and suffer reproach. We suffer reproach and we labor, or we labor and we suffer reproach, he says, because we trust in the living God. Look at that. There's people in this world that trust in God, but you start talking to them and you find out what God is to them. It's all different. I was talking to a guy one day, and I talked to him many times, and we believed a lot the same. And it was. I loved working. He was a painter, and I worked a lot of houses with him, and I enjoyed it immensely. And when I drove up to a house, going to be doing a finish in there, and he was in there painting, I knew I was going to have a good day. There's going to be gospel music. We're going to have a good conversation. It's going to be a great lunch. It was exciting. Then one day we were sitting there at lunch, and there was something different that we were talking about. And I said, well, that's not what the Bible says. And he said, well, if that's what you want to base your life on. Yeah. Yeah, it is. We didn't have so many good lunches after that. It wasn't long till he left his wife. He got away from the Word. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. I don't know. But we trust the living God, our Creator. The one that created me, you, this whole world. The world that the one that says the earth is his footstool. The one, I love this, that the plagues he put on Egypt, what was it the magician said they was? This is the finger of God. The finger. But you think about where the Lord keeps us. The finger of God sent the plagues on Egypt. But where does God keep you and me? In the palm of His hand. Not with one finger. With His whole hand. That's the God we serve. We serve the living God. The God that never changes. The God that promised us He'll never leave us nor forsake us. The God that gave us His Word. He's the one we serve. He's the one that gave you the promise that's so dear to you. He's the one that did that. He's the one that made that promise come to life right before your very eyes. But He goes on. He's not just the living God. He says, who is the Savior of all men? Do you believe that? There are some commentaries that skip over this part. They don't tell what this means. They say He's a Savior. He's the one that came and died. But they don't talk about the all men. But He is the Savior of all men. What did Christ say in John 3:16? For whosoever. Whosoever will. Now I know there's people out there who say, well, that's not all men because not all are elected. That's not my business. My business is for whosoever will. And that's what Paul's talking about. He's the Savior of all men. Whether you believe it or not, it don't matter. It's just like this. Let's say that Brother Tim and I had an argument, right? You don't believe in gravity anymore. You don't think it's real. We jump up on the roof, jump off. He expects not to fall. I know I'm going to. Who falls? We both do, don't we? Doesn't matter if you believe it or not, does it? Don't matter. He's a Savior of all men. Whether you say He is or not, He is. I guess I should have got into this other verse before because I said all that because this last part of this verse I struggle with a little bit. I don't know what it meant. He says, especially of those that believe. What? I prayed about this verse for a long time. Because He's the Savior of all men, but more to others than to some. That's what He says, especially to those that believe. Yeah. Yeah. Did you know the Lord saved me? He is my Savior. He is. You know, there's people I work with that don't want to hear anything about God's Word. Did you know He's still their Savior? But they don't believe it. So He especially is to me. Because I believe it. I'm saved. He saved me. That's where I get into that. I jumped ahead there. Sorry about that. But I jumped ahead there because it doesn't matter what you believe. Now, I'm not saying as long as you're sincere. That's not what I'm saying. I know I said that, but then I thought, uh-oh. I don't want that going out over the air. But the Lord is our Savior. He will save you here tonight if you trust in Him and believe in Him. That's what He's saying there, especially to those that believe. Then He says, these things command and teach. It's a faithful saying. If you're here today and you're lost, it's a faithful saying that Christ Jesus came to save sinners. If you're here today and you're saved, it's a faithful saying that you need to be working. There's labor to be done. There's work to be done. A lot of times we come to church, we come in here, we sit down, we sing songs. We know how many songs to sing, we know when to stand, when to sit. I mean, we're like little robots in here sometimes. To be honest with you, we can even feel when it's getting close to the preacher sitting down. Come on now. We're all that way, aren't we? We are. And when it feels like it's going a little bit too long, don't want to make it too obvious, right? We're that way. But I'll tell you, we'd be laboring. This is more important. This is more important than the roast burning at home. This is. We need to remember that Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I think if we remember that like Paul did, we would be more willing to labor. We'd be more willing to work. we would look out there and we know that Christ came to save sinners. We would look out there in the world and we wouldn't see people going the wrong way. But we would see souls going to hell. It's what we need to see out there in the world. But too many times we see differences. It's kind of funny. You talk to somebody and they get all excited about their services and they start getting excited about it. You ever watch somebody in a Baptist church talk to somebody else that's getting excited about their services? It makes you uncomfortable. Because we're not supposed to get excited. We're supposed to stay calmed down. We don't want to be too charismatic, right? Jumping pews and everything else. No. But we need to be excited, don't we? Why did the Lord come? He came to set us on a pew. No, He came to save sinners. What are we supposed to be doing? Well, I'm saved. I know where I'm going. Somebody came up to you and told you that there's a guy across the street over there that he's giving out $10, $100 bills if you want them. Would you believe him? Well, I don't know if I want to go over there or not. He gave out $10, $100 bills to that guy. He didn't seem very excited about it. I think people respond to us sometimes when we present God's will as, that's the way we act about it sometimes. We don't want to get excited. I think some of the charismatic movement has taken, we have let them take our joy. We've let them take our excitement. When we hear about God's Word, seems to be we get excited when someone's saved. And we ought to. You know, you ought to get just as excited when you hear God's Word and somebody talking about God's Word come to save. He came to save sinners. That ought to make us excited. It ought to. I think we ought to pray a little bit about that. If the Lord wants us to get excited, we ought to get excited. And I'm not saying jump in pews. I'm just saying you ought to get excited a little bit. Like somebody giving you a free gift, that's kind of exciting. It ought to excite us a little bit. If you're here today and you're lost, I'm telling you, you quit trusting what you're trusting and you trust in only Christ. That's when He saved me and that's when He'll save you. When you quit trusting in everything else, just trust in Him. Thank you.